Hey guys, it's Justin, and welcome you guys to another episode of Polar Opposites. If you're new to the show, Polar Opposites is a podcast where people agree, where people disagree, but we bring our different opinions to the table. We have some fun while we're at it, and we have some really good discussion. So it's another good episode. So if you love the show, make sure you're subscribed, subscribe. We love to see it. I really appreciate all of you guys' support. If you want to follow me, you can follow me at Justin_ALZI. And get into it. So this week, I am joined with Kendall.
Hi, guys.
Welcome back to the show.
I'm so excited to be back.
Good. So Kendall is here. We have a really good topic. And Kendall, you are my first guest for Black History Month.
I sure am. It is an honor.
Thanks. So Black History Month, as you know, is a month where we celebrate, you know, our blackness. We celebrate our culture. We celebrate what it means to be black in America. And I guess
Black History Month for me, I really believe, is very special to me. Mm-hmm. Not only because I am black and I am an African American.
In case y'all don't know.
I also feel like this month is just a time to spend more time in your blackness, being proud of it. And although it is the shortest month of the year, I believe a lot of great things happen during this month. And it's just, it's great being black. It's beautiful being black. And I'm reminded of it at least 20 times a day when it's Black History Month,
right?
You know?
But the thing with me is I'm black 24/7, 7 days a week, and 12 months of the year, just not in February. I guess take pride with it in February, but I'm like all the time, and I take pride in that, not just in February, but in the whole year.
Oh, no, for sure. And I feel like that is something that we can, you know, the people who are very secure in their blackness can attest to, but it's also good to know that in this shitty country that we are in, we have at least an ounce or an inch of something that we can take pride in for a consistent amount of days.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, we do it every day. Mm-hmm. So it's awesome. It's beautiful. And I'm so glad to be in this day, in this moment, in this month of, you know, celebration.
Because I'm thankful that we're there, too. But I wanted to, since it's been a week since the tragic news we heard last week, talk to you about what, you know, Kobe's death meant to you and how you were affected by it, how you heard about it, etc.
I definitely took a while to process it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that's not real, you know, because as being 22, obviously we grew up with Kobe being, I mean, a legend. So it was something that I didn't completely fathom. After processing it, seeing everyone's posts, seeing how it affected so many people, I just got to a place where I believe that we all have to continue to remind ourselves that life is very short, but also the legacy that we're actually leaving and what it is that we are providing every day to make a greater impact.
I like that because people think of a legacy as something that you can reflect on when you're old. But legacies are what we're building towards each and every day. You know, each day that I'm, you know, doing what I'm doing, when I'm prospering, whatever, is a day and a part of my legacy. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah, you're walking your legacy each and every day. And legacy is like associated with old age. But with Kobe, he passed away like really young.
Very
so
young.
You know, people don't think of, oh, at 41 I'm gonna leave a legacy. They're like, oh, that's a little young, maybe I'm still working, grinding towards where I can reflect and have a legacy. But it can be shortened just at the age of 41, like Kobe.
And it's also, it kind of gave me a few days of fear, not gonna lie, of thinking about, well, what would my last day look like?
Oh, I know.
How would my movements be?
Mm-hmm.
I'm waking up like this could be my last breath. Like, I did have that short, because it really does give you that sense of urgency about life, you know, because you got comfortable knowing this legend was walking the earth. You got comfortable with the fact that somebody who committed their day-to-day life to building a legacy and building a world of fans.
Yeah.
Right? How do you do that? How do you build a following? By being a leader in everything that you do.
Mm-hmm.
And so it built a sense of urgency in me to where not only I feared my motions of life, but I also felt like I needed to do whatever I wanted to do right now. Mm-hmm. I have no time.
Yeah.
And even if I have 20 years, like he did, I'm 22, so, you know, 19 years from now, that's still not a lot of time to figure out what it is that I want to do. It's urgent. Everything is urgent when you understand that life is precious and that every moment counts towards what you are going to be seen as when you leave this earth.
Because mm-hmm, it can happen at any moment.
Yes.
All right. So next we'll move on to Off My Chest. So Off My Chest is a segment where we get to rant about things that are bothering us. The floor is ours to let you know what we need to get off our chest. So if you guys want something that you would like to get off your chest, definitely send it through and I'll read it on air. I think that'd be interesting for a segment or two to read what you guys need to get off your chest, because we all are going through stuff and we all need to rant every now and then. So, what do you need to get off your chest, Kendall?
Well, disclaimer, I think that rants are very relative because rants are beautiful. I think that what I used to consider a rant in my friends' dorm rooms or in an apartment, things like that, that was considered actually fellowshipping. It was the beauty in the struggle that I dealt with on a day-to-day that I could share with my friends, my community at the time. And my rant turned into a very intellectual conversation about how we were going to walk through life in our blackness, in our beings, you know, on these college campuses that were, you know, it was a predominantly white institution. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, a rant could be considered a rant to one person and it could be a passionate discourse to another. So right. I believe that I take place. This is passionate discourse, and I will go ahead and just talk about what I'm going to get off my chest, mm-hmm. which is Septima Clark. So I have been hashtag I am Septima Clark for the past 4 days.
Why?
And I've been doing that because I was so angry, not only at every single person that has brought me any type of history towards black people or history in general. Why? I don't know. But and angry at myself, because Septima Clark was such a vital trailblazer in the civil rights movement, mm-hmm. as far as being able to pour into young men and women, specifically women, on how to be educated on resisting during the civil rights movement, mm. and educating them on how to read so they will be able to vote. And the people that she was able to build, like Rosa Parks, and the way that she was described by Martin Luther King, and the things that she was able to accomplish without even being seen or known or in the spotlight, mm-hmm. as quote unquote a public figure, right. or a legend to the black society or the black revolutionary movement. It was crazy to me that I was unable to identify her name when it was spoken on the TED Talk that I was able to listen to. Mm-hmm. Thank God I came across it, right? And I literally came across it, and I literally look up things like black women motivation, black women empowerment.
And found her name.
And I found it, and I was so ashamed and angry, but I turned that into a sign on the first day of Black History Month. Mm-hmm. I needed to pay tribute to Septima Clark in every single thing that I do and make sure that I'm learning more and more information about her, because she was who I am now, a trailblazer in a society filled with a lot of people, right. who are, you know, lost. She made a lot of women not only educated, but gave them the confidence and the courage to make change and create a different environment, yeah. for change society.
I like what you said about creating an environment of change, because change happens every year. And this year we so happen to fall on a election year. Like, this is so important this year. To think about what's coming up in November and the power that we all hold, because in the last election, I was really upset because people were being so stupid when it came to voting. So on the write-in ballots, people would write in stupid stuff like, I want to vote for a bottle of Hennessy or Harambe the gorilla. Like, that is so stupid.
It definitely was a year of ignorance.
A bottle of Hennessy?
I think that this year, there's a lot more of awakening awareness, and that gives me hope. But I think we still have a long way to go as far as people detaching themselves from political information altogether. News and the current events surrounding our world, not just our state, our community, our city, our country, but the world. A lot of people detach themselves from things and places that they cannot see or they have not experienced. And I think this year we're getting a lot more globally woke, as you could say. Ugh, everyone hates the woke word.
Woke.
But I know I did that for Justin. But I also think we do have a long way to go. That's not me. I have drinking water. You know, that's not me. I have my own insurance. Okay, well, there's other people who do not.
Right.
And there are other countries who cannot access the things that you can.
Proof.
And so that is not only, you know, putting the seeds of ignorance into yourself by detaching yourself from the political environment and the political realm of consciousness, but also, you know, you're doing yourself a disservice not knowing that you have so much power by voting on your own rights.
Mm-hmm. It's too easy to be
complacent.
It's too easy to be complacent, and it's too easy to want to do the easiest thing, which is nothing. We all have the power within ourselves to make choices, and a choice that we all have, a right that we all have that we should take full advantage of, is our right to vote. So now I'll get off my soapbox and
will sum up my off my chest by saying, you know, and a lot of things frustrate me, right? When you're somebody who's very conscious of not only yourself, but your surrounding peers, it's, you know, every day is a struggle. Every day I have something I want to get off my chest. But I will end it to say that I walk in my purpose for a reason, and I walk in my purpose to make sure that people are understanding of not only what Septima Clark was able to do for our people, speaking to people of color, not only Black individuals, Brown individuals, all of the individuals that are oppressed, but, you know, off my chest to end it is to say, I'm always going to have things to say, but I'm always going to make sure that I'm solution oriented instead of just quote unquote ranting, right?
A word.
A highly anticipated podcast for a reason.
Yes.
Shout out to you, girl, Kendall.
Let's get into the news. So this week in the news, we have this guy named Pastor Gray who made some waves.
Pastor Troy.
Oh, thank you. Pastor Troy. Who cares what his name is? So he is this, I guess, figure in hip hop. And he must be prominent, I guess, to be on this radio show. But anyway, he Instagrammed something about Lil Nas X. As you know, I believe the Grammys were last weekend. And Lil Nas X decided to wear a hot pink outfit. People called it a dominatrix outfit with his classic cowboy hat, and yeah, so it was like a whole hot pink ensemble. So after that, he posted a picture of himself, and then this Pastor Troy dude stumbles across the picture and decides to take to Instagram, as people do when they're frustrated, and rant a little bit. So basically, this is what Pastor Troy said. This was his Instagram caption. Well, guess I won't be winning the Grammy. If this is what I gotta wear, they love pushing this shit in our kids. The other day at Applebee's, had some punks kissing and laughing, eating mozzarella sticks. First thing my 14-year-old son said was, F Applebee's, and it brought joy to my heart. He sees it. Their agenda to take the masculinity from men, and Black men especially, some may say. Some may say, he's making money. RuPaul does too, but I'm not bumping his CD. Integrity is priceless. Y'all better open that third eye and let your sons know what's real, or their ass is going to be headed to the Old Town Road for real. So that was the quote. That was the caption. Ooh, so I just have to say, I just feel like there's a large contingent of people that are just uncomfortable with allowing people to just live their lives. Regardless of how you see the world, I don't know why people are so affected by the actions of others, especially if them doing what they're doing has nothing to do with you. You know what I mean?
I also think that everyone feels inclined to have an opinion. And when I first heard about it, I'm like, who's Pastor Troy? That's the first sound of alarm. That's the first alarming part, because it's like, okay, first of all, you, and he states in an interview that he's been doing music for 20 years based out of Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Atlanta is the most black, you know, progressive, rich, a lot of wealthy black people reside in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Why have we not heard about you? Mm. You know what I'm saying? After 20 years, maybe I'm one of few, but I feel like I'm in the, did you know who he was?
No, I've never
exactly
heard of him.
So it's like, why do you feel inclined to have an opinion on someone who's making triple what you do? I can say he's making triple you do, because mm-hmm.
more.
You have more, because you literally are irrelevant after 20 years. Mm-hmm. This man has only been in the limelight for what?
The controversial statements that he made. Or the, for what, two?
No, I'm saying,
oh, Lil Nas X?
Yes.
Like 2 years, maybe.
Like, why do you even feel the need to speak on someone else to create an entire post? Mm-hmm. Let's start there.
Well, let's talk about...
I don't even want to talk about his ignorance, because that part is just... That's self-explanatory.
Right.
Like, in the way that the interviewer was not only, instigating his responses, but
not holding him accountable for what he's saying or challenging him at all. He seems scared. And if y'all don't know the clip that I'm talking about, I'll play a clip right here.
Absolutely. So just for the record, are you homophobic?
I'm not homophobic at all, man. You know, I know a lot of gay people, man. I've been doing this for 20 years, and this is the first time this thing ever came up about. Come on, man. I took more pictures with more gay people, man. I had more gay people serving me, man, in all these restaurants, the whole nine, man. You know what I mean? They ain't even my place. But what you do at home is on you, and what I do is at home on me, man. You know what I mean? Just because I see these gay people out and about don't mean I have to go home and lower my standards or morals or what I believe in. I have to do that, man. You can be as gay as a $3 bill. I don't care, but I don't have to subject my children to it.
So y'all heard what he had to say. So basically, he was even asked, are you a homophobe or are you homophobic? And he said no. So clearly he doesn't know what homophobia is, but
and
I feel like...
And his response was literally like, I have gay servers. I don't care if you're as gay as a $3 bill. How is a $3 bill gay?
Yeah.
Does a $3 bill have a penis that puts a... Like, what... Do we even know what being gay, bisexual, a lesbian... Do we know what that... Let's educate ourselves.
Yeah, that was...
Let's do
just
that
ignorant.
First, okay? Opinion is without statistical data to... Like, literally...
It's just talk.
It's just talk.
Yeah.
That's so, a rant.
I think that what he said, it just highlights a bigger thing, which is, I guess, homophobia in the black community. What would you do? I don't know. First of all, let's just tackle his point about a gay agenda. Is there a gay agenda where gay people are being propped up on TVs to brainwash the mass public, to brainwash kids into thinking that, you know, being men being with men and girls being with girls is wrong?
Let's start with... let's start with parenting. So we talked about parenting, mm-hmm. right? Or, you know, last time I was on the show. But I want to talk about when you have your child, when you either birth or participate in the act of, you know, producing a child, mm-hmm. are we supposed to control that child's life? Are we supposed to do that, or are we supposed to care for that person? Are we supposed to love individual?
Kendall, we know what the right thing is to do. The thing is
to love our child no matter what. And so when we are speaking on what we are letting our children consume, I'm going to let my children consume love and positivity, mm-hmm. and unity and collaboration.
But it's
that
as
has
if,
nothing to do with sexual orientation.
But it's as if even if you're under somebody's household and you monitor them very closely, they're not their own individual
and
person.
And you're not allowing that individual to become who they want to be.
Right. And that person the world is not changing that person. That person is becoming their own individual, and through that growth and through that, you know, process, they're becoming who they're meant to be in life, and that's how
you have
it
to
is
be the one to show them love, even if the world hates them, mm-hmm. even if they see anything on the TV screen, or if they are, you know, spoken to about certain things at school. We cannot change what our individuals, which are the children that we birth. Yes, we are going to keep them safe when they need us, but as they grow and develop, we cannot stop the things that they're going to consume outside of our care.
And I get where it's coming from. It's coming from a place of what, ignorance. So because of that,
and black people are stubborn. Black people do not want to explore outside of what they were taught.
Well,
but
I think
that's just like only wearing one lens or only seeing life through one lens.
It's fear. Fear plays a big part in that. And I think that what Pastor Troy had to say is because of fear. Fear of something being different.
Fear of the unknown.
Yeah, fear of the unknown and fear of, you know, misplaced expectations. When you, you know, have kids, some people place all these weights and expectations on their kids. And it's kind of like a vessel. Like, your kid is your vessel of all your past desires, of your past, you know, trials that you wanted to get through.
It's a continuation. And I feel like we all talk, like, in my family, we talk about how you are emotionally stunted once you have a child, because all of the emotional development that you have produced on your own as your own being stops when you are starting to look into another child or care after another individual. You can practice self-development, but a lot of people put all of their thought, their worries, their time into that child. So however old you were, who knows how old he was when he produced children? We also don't know how old he was mentally, emotionally, right? A lot of people stump their growth of emotional intelligence after that child. Life ends for them. Their dreams die.
So their cycle is like so much different than the regular cycle.
Exactly, especially if you're not pushing your mind to want more and know more and always be a student to the game of life.
Exactly. Ooh, get into it. Get into it. So let's move on to the main topic. So this week, you guys, it's an interesting topic. So me being Nigerian, being African, I thought that it'd be different to compare and contrast my lifestyle to Kendall, who's African-American or a Black American, and compare our perspectives. So let's talk about how we're different. Let's talk about identity for one. For me, I'm Nigerian. Like, I know my language, I know my culture, and I know that, like, I'm from a country in Africa. I know what country that is. And I think that's a huge privilege. Identity, just knowing where you come from and having a culture and a language, it kind of brings you a sense of comfort in knowing there's so many people that are part of my tribe, I guess. Everybody does have a tribe. Mine is Igbo, by the way. But everybody kind of has a tribe in life. And I feel like you have common connections with people, whether that be your culture, your language, and being from a culture and sharing a nationality and knowing that, it helps me and it gives me a sense of comfort and pride. So Kendall, for you, like, how does identity play a role, like, in your life with, like, culture and everything, language and, like, not knowing where you're from and stuff like that?
So I definitely think for all Black Americans, we all have a different story. We all have a different background. We definitely aren't from the United States originally, so we all are on a self-exploration of healing, I believe, and that's not only self-exploration and healing, but a lot of other things, but I think that's what it kind of comes down to. So I do know that I'm Black. I do not know my ancestry. I don't know where it all ties from, and that can always leave a sense of displacement in everybody. And that's not only in the surface level skin color, but also, you know, my soul, my spirit, and my overall being, right? So we're just beings walking around with different identities, but the identity is not the hats you wear every day, the job, the, you know, the relationship. You're a sister, you're a daughter, you're a mother to some, you know, not me, but, you know, an aunt. You're all of those things, but who are you really? And that you is the energy that you place in the room, the things that you speak out of your mouth, and all of the things that you believe that you truly are inside. And before we started the podcast, I actually asked Justin, you know, who do you think your true self is? Who does that look like? What does that look like? And I don't think that black people even allow themselves
to think that far.
Yeah. They don't see themselves as anything but, right? Mm-hmm. Anything but a worker, anything but a servant, mm-hmm. even anything but what other people have already labeled mm-hmm. you as.
What's comfortable? Ghetto, what's normal?
What's not even comfortable, but because a lot of people don't even understand that they're uncomfortable. Comfortability is comfort. Mm. They're comfortable being uncomfortable. They understand that they cannot live without their job, mm-hmm. but they think that this is what is supposed to be happening. So it is comfortable,
and
right?
It can be easy to be stagnant and not want to see yourself bettering. Because I think that in life, we should all be about bettering ourselves each and every day. I don't think we should ever feel comfort working the same job all the time. Move up, have ambition, you know, want to do more than just what everybody
wants. We'll definitely get into that. That's a whole nother conversation. But back to saying, uh-huh. you know, who I am and understanding who I am as a Black American, I believe that I am just an advocate. I believe that I am a believer of belief. You know, those things are me. When people speak of who you speak of who you are, right? Mm-hmm. Not I am Kendall, because that's the name that was given to me, but I am a true lover. I am a passionate woman. I am a, I was going to get inappropriate, but the things, depending on who you are and uh-huh. what mood I am is who I am, right? Because that's the energy that I'm letting on right. at that very moment. Mm-hmm. And so being caught up in the orientation that you're in, you really can't do that when you don't even belong in the place of where you're living, mm-hmm. right? I know I'm not from here. I know I'm from another country. I know that I'm not from this place, but I know that this is where I am. This is currently where I have been placed. Mm-hmm. So when you ask me who I am, I will tell you, right?
Yeah. Ooh, I love that. I love that. So let's talk about wealth. So with being Nigerian, especially being Igbo, the stereotype for Igbo people is that we care about money. Wealth and riches is what we care about most. And I think that so many African people in general can relate to that. So the thing with wealth, I think we see so many images of people that are rich. Basketball players, to me, are rich. For me, I see a lot of African-American men are basketball players. And a large majority of those people come from poor neighborhoods where they're pushed into you know, playing sports as a way to, you know, make money because traditional methods might have been too hard for them at the time. But my point being that we see those people in the public eye and people aspire to be those things because they want to be rich. But with wealthy, wealth is an entirely different thing from being rich. Wealth is like generations of money passed down over generations. And that is something that a lot of like Black people don't have. And Black people meaning Nigerian and Black combined. Because for me, even though I'm not African American or a Black American, I don't identify as those. I'm still Black though. And Kendall has a different background from me. But at the end of the day, my skin color is still Black. And that's an identifier for me. Because some people find that Black is an offensive word or whatever.
Yeah, some people do, but I wanted to touch on wealth briefly. So wealth is definitely different than being rich because wealth comes from residual income. Wealth comes from several different streams of income, mm-hmm. right? That comes from investments. And I heard that you said, which is naturally said by most people who are ignorant to the fact that wealth does not necessarily mean it's generational. Mm. It does not necessarily mean that it's been passed down, but it is a form of wealth, right? We have to understand why these people have this money and why they're between the 3 and the 5% of the world or even our country, right? And so being someone who has recently opened my mind to the actual realms of wealth that I can obtain and the opportunities of wealth that have been presented to me, I am educating myself that, well, first of all, let's not talk about me educating myself because the educating part is
continuous.
It's definitely a continuous learning process, but that right there would stop a Black person from understanding, right? Because they refuse to educate themselves. Mm-hmm. So first of all, let's start with, I educated myself on why the wealthy are wealthy. If you have not done that, that's the first step, mm-hmm. right? That's the first step. Black people cannot put themselves in a wealthy category.
No, right? It's not possible. At least not thus far.
Exactly. And you mentioned athletes, mm-hmm. right? Black people can only associate wealth or richness with athletes, mm-hmm. with talented individuals, mm-hmm. with that's about it, mm-hmm. right? Somebody who won the lottery, that's being rich, that's mm-hmm. not being wealthy.
Well, part of it is what we see in the media as well, and what visions and visual representation we're seeing as we're developing and getting into our mindsets of how we view the world.
But we also mm-hmm. don't understand that wealthy people can be very ordinary people.
That's true. That's true.
And that's where I'm going to definitely talk about how it got to the point where I was fed up with the income that was coming in, and I wasn't understanding how I wanted to be at this level,
mm-hmm, but felt stuck.
The income that was coming in wasn't going to get me to that level. Mm-hmm. And that's where I'm like, how are they there and I'm here? Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Kylie Jenner. Mm-hmm. Why is she able to do what she wants to do every day and I'm going to my 8 to 5?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's privilege for one.
But it's luck also
because she didn't ask to be put in that position though. So, but that's a different case.
But as black people, how do we get there, right? That's the question that mm-hmm. you have to ask yourself. Mm-hmm. That's not supposed to be me. Why is that not me?
Yeah.
And you take steps to get there for it to be you. Mm-hmm. And that's why I walked into 2020 with residual income, with mm-hmm. 3 streams of income. Mm-hmm. The average millionaire has 7 streams of income. Mm-hmm. I have 3. So guess what? I am closer to being at millionaire status.
Where you want to be.
Than the average person mm-hmm. who only has...
But that's not everybody. Like, as like a collective, I think that... Some people think that we're good with our money and some people don't think that we're good with our money.
What is being good with your money? If you're not maximizing your dollar, then you are not good with your money.
No.
If you feel like your $1 can't turn into $1 million, you are not good with your money mm-hmm. and you don't value yourself because you value the value of money. And how much that you have, how much your check is weekly, biweekly, or monthly, that is the value of you. That's mm-hmm. how much you think that you're worth. Mm-hmm. A lot of people will go into an interview, go through 5 interviews, and never ask how much they're going to get paid. Mm-hmm. They're scared to ask, right? But if you're getting paid $14.75 an hour, that's how much you think you are worth. Mm-hmm. If you think that you're worth $1 million, you're going to step and talk and treat yourself as such. Mm-hmm.
Up until the point where you make it there, it's all about your mindset, both exactly. present and, you know, going forward, continuous.
And as black people, it's so important, as black, brown, anybody who is a part of the community that is not the 1%, the 1 to 5%, a lot of people are in the bottom percent, the mm-hmm. 99 that want to stay mm-hmm. there, right?
Yeah.
But it's about understanding that you can get to the 1%.
Right.
And understanding that there's a way.
Yeah. And speaking of percentages, I'm glad you mentioned that. The reason why percentages is so important, when you look at like who is getting medical school acceptances, you'll see that black people are at a certain percentage. When you go in and analyze who comprises that community of black people, you'll see that Nigerians, like more than anybody else, are occupying that space as like black doctors, basically. So I'm asking, like, why is that? Yes, that's a good thing, but why is that? Like, for us, we didn't have to deal with like years and generations of slavery. Slavery held black people like down, and it has repercussions and effects till this day, till this very moment.
And like, we don't even need to say that slavery. I mean, not to cut you off, not to discredit anything you said, but we weren't held down by slavery. We were completely overturned and slaughtered and beaten and completely stripped of our identity through slavery. Mm-hmm. And when black people understand that they are enslaved in their mind, mm-hmm. although we are free, that is when you will understand that you are still enslaved. Mm-hmm. Just because you're not beaten, just because you're not woken up out of your sleep, just mm-hmm. because you're not told what to do. You think in your mind that you cannot have greater and better because we were sent over here to be a servant to someone else.
And told all the time that you'll never amount to anything. You are nothing. You are worthless. Think about what the effects that that has with somebody going years and years into the future. You're harboring a space for people to think that and have the belief, I'm lesser. I'm not worth it. I'm never going to make it. I've never seen myself make it. I'm worthless, basically. But for us, like, we, first of all, we have like an identity and a collective of people that represent us and our culture. So when we come over to this country, we are assured of who we are and what we're here to do, that it's easier for us to accomplish those things because there's not somebody telling us that we won't amount to anything. There's not somebody telling us that for generations that we're worthless. It's a community of people that tell you, you can do this, you can do that. So you have the ability to do this and be successful doing it. And think about like how that affects somebody versus somebody that's been told the opposite.
But and it's not even about being, it's the self-exploration that every Black person has to go. I call it the enlightenment period. I've spoke of it previously. Mm-hmm. But it's that time that you have to spend in your life to take a step back and relearn and unlearn the things that were told to you every day, not only by the people who birthed you, because our parents are in such a place of stagnancy, and that's just because of the way they were raised. Mm-hmm. But we're also, we have to take steps back to re-identify who we truly are as beings,
or even
right?
formulate a self-identity
as
a coping mechanism,
as opposed to people who are, and not only, you know, we're speaking of Nigerian people specifically because of you, but people who are tied, intertwined and completely connected to their culture, so they're not having to go through that self-exploration piece. Yes, definitely they do, but they can skip over the culture part, right? Mm-hmm. Which is a big part of who you are.
Yeah.
And I also say that to say that yes, you're cheered on, yes, you can do it, but in a way that can be detrimental to someone who does not want to get a medical degree, does not want to go to medical school, because that is also not the only way
to be successful.
Exactly.
Because that's, to me, when that's a rich job.
Yes.
Like being a doctor is what we call a rich job.
But how many years, what every time that you are putting yourself in a position for success, you have to risk something.
Mm-hmm.
So are you risking time? Are you trading time for money? Are you trading your health for money? I don't know if you saw that Asian doctor. There was a video. He had been working 23 hours, I think, without eating or sleeping. And it was all for his patients. He had done like 7 surgeries that day.
Mm-hmm.
And he passed out on the elevator.
Oh,
and
God.
He got himself up and walked to the garage. And he passed out again, y'all. And he like broke some teeth, I believe. And that's because he was helping other people. It doesn't matter how much he gets paid.
Mm-hmm.
He's still paying for his job and his occupation by the hours that he's spending not sleeping, you know, working on patients, the stress of the surgery.
Mm-hmm. And so not to say that being a doctor is a bad career. It's definitely rewarding
for
people. It's
not for everyone.
But it's not for everybody. And with what Kendall's saying, a lot of Nigerians have been pushed into the medical route, into being an engineer, into being a lawyer. Those are the three things that a lot of like African people see as successful and an easy path for success in America. So they drive and push their kids to do those things with good intentions, I'm assured, but it's a trade-off, and because of that you might sacrifice your career for happiness.
Yeah.
Is that worth it for you?
Exactly.
Is that worth it?
And to say all that about the differences of both Nigerians and Black Americans, there are similarities. We all want success.
Mm-hmm.
We all want to break the bondages of stereotypical Black definitions and the things that hold us back. We want to excel past that.
Right.
And I'm doing that by the way that I speak, the way that I touch others. So yeah, we can talk about the differences of being both Black and being Nigerian and knowing the different cultures and the differences.
But there's another side to it as well.
Yeah, let's celebrate the commonalities. Let's come together. Let's build collaboration and unity and actually understand what it is that we're missing in life, what it is that we're missing that's been stripped to us, and what have we been lied to about, right?
Well, that's, I think that's like in a perfect world, we'd love to see all that stuff happen. But I think the reality of the divide between not only just Africans and Black Americans, is this the divide within the Black community in general? Because I feel both of those communities really don't support each other. And you can't, without support, without a collective of people that are building each other up, if you're divided, think about it. How are you supposed to build something if you're divided? Things have to come together to be solidified. And because there's not that stability within the Black community, that's the why it's the way it is today. Because other people don't want to support each other. We don't want to see each other win. Some people view somebody else winning as their loss. Why does it have to be like that? Somebody else's victory is not my loss.
Definitely. And I feel like, and that's crazy that you bring that up, because I'm a very supportive person. And I've always been that way. I've always been super solid when it came to coming behind somebody and making sure not only do they know that I am rooting for their success, but I'm doing something to catapult that success to the next level, mm-hmm. right? And Justin can attest to that,
yeah.
because I am extremely annoying as far as his podcast. What are you going to do next? What are, you know, all these things, because I'm not only envisioning you successful in what you're doing, but I'm seeing you at the next level of success in whatever you're already doing. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I feel like that's something that God has blessed me with, because I feel like I carry the spirit of envy, but at a very small scale. Mm-hmm. And it's not something that it doesn't speak on me being jealous of that person, mm-hmm. but it's being envious that I know I can achieve it and I don't see it right now.
Right.
That ties into my impatience. But
and instant gratification as well.
Obviously. Yeah. And so I definitely think that as a person, a Black person who has a lot of different friends from different races and different ethnicities and backgrounds, mm-hmm. and all of that, I think that when you dwell on the differences and when you dwell on things that are not right or things that are negative, it's just, it's never going, like you said, we're never going to get to a point where we are in a perfect world. Mm-hmm. But I believe that we can get to a point of pretty close to it. And I think that's what, you know, God has put that, you know, into my spirit. Like, okay, this can happen. This is very okay. And so I support everyone, because someone else's gain is my gain too, mm-hmm. because we are all oppressed
together
overall, yeah. right?
Different and levels of oppression, but for the most part, we're still disenfranchised, and we're still not looked at in high regard. So, in
yeah,
that sense,
and it's all a self-reflection. It's all a reflection of you. You not supporting someone else, what does that say about you?
Mm-hmm.
Are you not supporting someone because you don't have your shit together?
Mm-hmm.
Are you not supporting someone because you don't support with it? Why are you not supporting that person? Mm-hmm. Right? I'm supporting every Black-owned business that I can. Right? Well, I'm supporting their t-shirt line, their do-rag line, their wigs. Every wig I wear is mm-hmm. from somebody, if not my hands. Mm-hmm. It's a Black hand mm-hmm. that has created
and that's,
that.
Because that's why so many communities are able to hold their dollar. Like, you hear that, like, Black people
give their, they hand it right back to the person that does not look like them.
Yeah, and let's get right into it. A thing that really bothers me within the Black community is businesses. I wish I saw more Black people and people of color setting up more businesses, because we have, you know, the mind, we have the capacity to do so much as a community. And because of that, it's weird that somehow in this world we allowed an entirely different community to come to us in our communities and sell us products that are meant for us, when they know nothing about our community and our culture, profiting off of our being and our culture. You know?
And that's because we do not, we carry envy, we carry hurt, we carry brokenness, and we allow what society has visualized us as, which we know propaganda and overall the xenophobic society that we live in, we've bought into that,
mm-hmm.
literally and, you know, mentally. And I'm glad that you bring up businesses and Black-owned businesses and small businesses, because I am a businesswoman. You know, like I said, I have 3 streams of income, and I've chosen to take on an opportunity that has allowed me to not only learn the skill of trading in the foreign exchange market,
mm-hmm.
but share the opportunity with others and be compensated for that, right? And so I've came into a lot of experiences where black people are not only skeptical, but they are dismissive of an opportunity that could catapult them into millionaire status mm-hmm. in less than 5 years, mm-hmm. right? And so I'm understanding now more and more, because I'm a very young business. So businesses take at least 5 years to become actually stable and consistent, mm-hmm. right? As far as production and, you know, progress. And there are those anomalies that, you know, catapult into success, like the opportunity that I'm in. But in the average black, the average business in general, it takes 5 years, right? So I'm very new to this. I'm less than a year into the game, and I'm coming across a lot of people who are skeptical. And like I mentioned earlier, is people go into jobs and they will interview. And I said five times because I've done it before. Mm-hmm. I've been into five interviews and I ended up washing cars. Mm. Okay, washing cars. They glorified this job. It was a sales job, marketing job. A lot of you guys are triggered if you've been through this. I have talked to so many people on LinkedIn, like, do not do this job. It's not what it seems. Mm-hmm. But after that fifth interview, I'm feeling strong. Still have not asked how much I'm going to get paid. Mm. Why is that? Why is it that black people are skeptical of putting their money towards something that is going to build them not only mentally, not only physically, not mm-hmm. only financially, but spiritually? It's everything. Mm-hmm. It really shows you who you are. And so people are skeptical about putting their money towards something that's going to help them, but they will dress up nice, get their self together, drive. I drove an hour. Five times to a job that ended up in me washing cars, mm-hmm. right? So a lot of people have come to me, what, how much money have you gotten out of it? What, people don't even know what an investment is, first of all, because this is an investment. My business is an investment. Trading in the foreign exchange market is an investment, right? And it's not really registering to people because they don't have any knowledge over it. And so that catapults us automatically into skepticism, mm. right? And fear.
And with, like, the reference I made was to, like, Asian people predominantly, like, purchasing, like, hair businesses, black
taking
hair
over
businesses,
our beauty. And no, our communities. No, it's not even that they are taking over, or they've already taken over the beauty supply business, demand, yeah. right? Because I can't live without a beauty supply. You know, I get the most randomest things from the beauty supply. Mm-hmm. I see everybody in the beauty supply. Not only that, but they're not even distributing supplies to black-owned beauty supplies.
Mm-hmm. Like, so they're coming into our communities, reaping yes. benefit off of our stuff. And then not putting the money back into the community and keeping it themselves.
Exactly. So you will rarely see a black person working in the beauty supply as a manager or not being a security guard. You know those black beauty supplies that be having the security guard at the door. And you will only see black people at the wig section, because the wig section is, you're not going to listen to an Asian woman that tells you, you know, what kind of wig you need to wear. So they throw a black person there to what? Build their business. Mm-hmm. But why do we not have black people behind black people creating a collaborative unit?
Well, I think it's because black people, or black Americans specifically, were not allowed to prosper. And because they weren't allowed, they had everything taken away from them. So they're having to start from
But
zero.
How are you building? I want everyone who's listening to this podcast, and I challenge everyone that I do, that I talk to or I come in contact with something, mm-hmm. right? I'm going to leave you with some type of golden nugget mm-hmm. that you probably wouldn't have gotten from anybody else. And I want you to understand that success comes with the people that are around you, mm-hmm. the places that you go, mm-hmm. and what you educate yourself on. So every day, I challenge you to ask yourself, what am I pouring into myself that's going to allow me to get to the next level? Mm-hmm. A lot of black people don't understand that the black person right next to them can get them to the next yep. level, or they're not going to get them to the next level. Mm-hmm. That very challenge will change and shift whatever it is that you're going through in life. Mm-hmm. If you are stagnant, look around you, right? Look around you. Look inside those beauty supplies. Mm-hmm. Look inside businesses. Ask if it's black owned. Mm-hmm. Are you putting your your dollar towards the next
And the sad part is that once we want to venture, see more for ourselves, want to build ourselves up within our own community, when we start our own black-owned business, black people, your own people, wouldn't even come to support you.
Wasn't then, even going to get on that part because it is something that I'm currently dealing with, really? You know, but I push through it every day. But it's funny because I want everyone to eat. I don't want you to support me because you think it looks cool or because you think it'll make me happy. I want you to support me because I truly want you to want me to win, just like I truly want you to win in whatever that you're doing. And so it's not necessarily quote unquote supporting a black business. It's believing in them because nobody else is. Believe in them like nobody else is. Believe in them like they are completely abandoned. Believe in them like your life depends on it because you would want somebody to believe in you. And small businesses, they need that gratification. They need that affirmation because they've stepped out on faith like you probably have not, which is carrying your envy,
and keeping you down.
So, but they've taken a step out on faith and did something abnormal. It's abnormal or it's unusual for somebody in your family to own a business.
And last week we talked about with Grammy something pretty superficial, but we have to support our own institutions, our own BET, our own hip hop awards. We have to support all of that because that's how we build them up to credibility that we see with the Grammys.
And instead of critiquing them, why don't you put yourself in the position
to help build it? Help change it. You have the power too. Because every year when the BET award comes up and a mishap happens, everybody takes to Twitter and says, oh, the BET awards are so ghetto, they can't get it together. Help it get it together.
Or the very small, like, let's dial it back a bit. You go into your local, you know, mom and pop shop and the service is not that good, so you say, I'm gonna put a review on Yelp and I'm going to discredit this black owned business. Why don't you go up to them and kindly talk about your grievances? That would help catapult, like my favorite word right now, because catapult is so much more dramatic than pushing to the next level or going. It's putting your mind to a place where you see a catapult going, right? I'm a very visual learner, visual person. So just imagine that small business taking that advice and changing their business around instead of you putting on Yelp the bad parts about your experience.
If you care about
and
the
deterring
community,
the next person from going.
Yeah, try and change with, especially if you like them but you didn't like the food. If everything about them was good except the food, that's an easy fix. Either they can get rid of the chef or change some stuff on their menu, and then people will start loving it again. So instead of spewing, maybe, and people don't even view it as being negative. They just think of it as giving a bad review. But every action has a reaction.
Exactly.
And the reaction to that is there's going to be a lot of people that won't come anymore. And because of that, that's a black business that's shut down. There's ways we can go about building up our own communities without having to go through something like a shutdown or something like that.
Exactly. I just think it's all about moving with love and making sure that you understand that the things that you went through as a person who has been oppressed, or even if you are somebody who feels like you carry absolute privilege, you've seen someone else be oppressed. So it's about moving with love to understand that the things you probably went through as being a person of color or a person who's seen someone else be, you know, whatever happened, you know that happened to that person. You know that black owned business has probably been through hell and back. You know that person on the street that bumped into you and has anger on their face, they're going through something. If you move with love, you'll understand that everybody, like I said, is on a self-exploration of healing, especially a black person who doesn't even know where they belong because we're not from here. You have to understand why everything is the way it is and not believe that what is should be, you know?
Yeah.
But that's a little bit over some people's head. I won't even get into that.
So I think another thing we should talk about is culture. So with black culture, we come in and we let everybody profit off of our culture, our lingo, our outfits, our fashions. We let everybody copy and they're influenced by it. We don't get credit for it. And everybody's profiting off of ourselves, but we can't profit off of our likenesses, our persona. It's seen as ghetto. It's seen as ugly. It's seen as nothing. But when somebody else comes and takes a piece of that, they're seen as edgy. They're seen as cool or whoa, different, you know?
That is all tied into the propaganda of how we've been raised. And I think that once you put into historical context why is it cool for, you know, it's so many things. I could really name everything that is in society right now, because if you look right now, you look up on YouTube, Google's most viewed things. There is an entire video, the most viewed tennis player was Serena. Mm-hmm. The most, what was it? The most listened to hip hop song. Mm-hmm. Like everything was black people. Mm-hmm. We are most viewed.
We are the culture.
Duplicated, mm-hmm. right? But because we don't believe in ourselves and we don't believe the impact, like the impact is you. The one thing that you do that somebody else likes that they copy, you are impacting society. Mm-hmm. Just see, like, open up your eyes to the fact that the things that you do have always been mimicked. Back in historical days, we were mocked. We were entertainment. We were the person that provided substance to our masters to their dinner. Mm-hmm. We were the piano player. We were the, I don't know if y'all have seen, what is it called? The Passbook, I believe, where he, you know, it's all types of signs and historical facts that will show you that we've always been duplicated. Mm-hmm. It's just manifested itself into businesses and
for other people.
Yeah, and it's always, we've always been used. Mm-hmm. That's what we were here for. Mm-hmm. That was our duty.
And that's why things are the way they are, because we're used to being
used.
We've
always been
oppressed. We're used to
when have we ever had our own? You know, and it takes somebody standing up and saying enough is enough. I want my own for it to change. Mm-hmm. And I think when you say that we allow other people, we comment on it too.
Yeah, and we need to be more protected. Yeah, we are opinionated about our own culture, but I think that we need to be more protective of it, is what I was trying to say.
How do you protect a culture that you know nothing about?
By respect. Oh, ooh.
Everyone says the quickest or the best way to hide something from a black person is to put it in a book.
Hmm.
Why? Because we don't educate ourselves. Mm-hmm.
But that's it's not because, I don't think, people will say it's because they don't want to, they're lazy. Would you say that that's true or not?
Yes, because really? Just like I can look up the nearest Fuzzies, I can look up who Septima Clark. That's why I was so angry. I'm like, you know what I'm saying? It's like you can literally look up what you want to look up, but you're not diving into the historical context of day to day. And because of that, you normalize what you're consuming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, it's definitely all a part of your mindset. How you view yourself is how you're going to view life,
mm-hmm.
right? Because you are a product of the life you live.
Right. And that's why I always say that, well, I don't always say this. I actually thought of this as I was planning, but this quote, black people aren't in chains anymore, but we've never been allowed to be free.
Yeah,
and we've never been allowed to be free in thought.
Let's repeat that.
That deserves a repeat.
Yeah, that was a gem.
Black people aren't in chains anymore, but we've never been allowed to be free.
I want to say that that is so deep and so meaty that was powerful.
I'm gonna copyright that. By the time y'all hear this, it will be copyrighted, so don't get any ideas. But and to say that quote means so much, I'll read it one more time before going into what I truly think it means. Black people aren't in chains anymore, but we've never been allowed to be free. Think about that. When have black people ever been free in thought? When have black people been free in sexuality and expressing that? When have black people been free to rock their natural hair and their natural bodies, being comfortable with who they are and what their bodies look like without the gaze of somebody else? When is that? We aren't in chains anymore, but when have we been truly free is what I'm saying. And think about that for a second.
Are you a person who's bound by anything, bound by the opinion of your parents, bound by religion, bound by sexual orientation, bound by your figure, mm-hmm. right? A black person, a black woman in tights and a white woman in tights.
It's
literally
different.
Yes, I watched in high school my friends be discriminated against because they were wearing leggings, mm-hmm. as opposed to a white person who went through the entire day with them.
Right, and part of it is because of the hypersexualization of black women in media and just in life. They sexualize us for me. Or I said us. Y'all.
Thank you. And that womanist advocate, you better advocate for your black women.
Yeah.
Definitely, like, if you're bound by any type of label, stereotype, or assumption, then you are enslaved, mm-hmm. right? And I feel like the most freeing part, and I had a little moment on my Snapchat. I barely get on Snapchat unless I want to rant or just post old pictures, right? or view my memories. Mm-hmm. But I had to just let some people know that it's so freeing to know that I am walking and talking in every part of myself that I want to be. Mm-hmm. And when black people realize that you can become who you want to be, and shout out to Stormy Wellington. Mm-hmm. I listen to her every morning. She talks about us being becomings. We are becomings. We are walking, talking becomings. We are constantly becoming who we want to be. Mm-hmm. You are not who you are currently in this situation, in this circumstance. You are who you want to be.
And that's a word. That's a word.
Yeah, and so being enslaved to your current circumstance is already deteriorating who you want to be, because you're not even letting yourself get to the point of where you feel comfortable in who you are and where you're going.
Yeah.
And I feel like, not to call you out, Justin, but you got a little uncomfortable, right? When I said, what would you be like if you were your true self? Because a lot of people don't sit back and really marinate on what it is that they want out of life. And you don't ever want to leave this earth physically not knowing that, or and not
full circle moment
that.
Again, we live for full circle moments with the whole Kobe Bryant situation. You never know. See, we just, on this podcast, everything ties together somehow. But this idea of reparations is a big thing. I think actually during last episode, DeAndre and I were talking about Native Americans and how they receive scholarships because of what the U.S. has done to them. And then Charlton brought up the idea, what about what the U.S. has done to us as black people? And I was like, it's different because, and then I actually had to think about it. For us as a collective, yes, I'm Nigerian, but at the same time, I occupy the collective of being a black person. So collectively, yes, we are black, but I'm not a black American.
Yeah, because when you fill something out, it says black/African-American. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's the box that you would click, right?
Yeah. So because of that, I had to ask Charlton, but we weren't slaves, though. My experience as a Nigerian, yes, I'm still black. It's different from a black American. So when he was talking about like the idea of reparations and Native Americans getting reparations, so should like Africans get reparations?
I definitely feel, yes, and I feel like that is because first of all, there's too much division, right? There's so much division. There's so much technicality on the wrong things, right? We want to be very technical when it comes to who receives the benefits of something that happened historically. So we know that black people were beaten, were enslaved, but why are we not understanding? That's going back to knowing your history. Why are we not understanding that Nigerians or Africans or any people who are, you know, any black passing individual, because that could be, you know, anybody. That could be a French, someone who is, but, you know, looks black, they are black, but we when they enslaved us everywhere, not just the United States, but let's talk about it. So when you're thinking of how Africans are perceived in America, why wouldn't you want to give them why wouldn't they receive reparations as well?
But
because
they didn't have to struggle like African Americans, though.
Like, so you don't believe that you struggle every day by being black passing?
Yeah, but that, how do you, I feel like whenever you're everything is stripped from you, you have nothing. So if we're
you're
different.
I think you're speaking on your personal situation, and you might be, you know, you might be write about the fact that you guys did not go through things. But me, I think if we eat, everybody eats. Mm-hmm. And so if there is a potential for you to gain, you are still an oppressed unit. Like, literally, I feel like Hispanics or Latinx, the Latinx community should receive reparations. Like, everyone except the majority mm-hmm. should receive reparations for whatever it was that made them oppressed in the first place, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, so, well, do you think it should be all at the same rate?
I honestly...
Should there be degrees to it? Like, people that went through slavery, you get all, more.
Exactly.
And people that haven't had.
Yes, but that's the controversy. How you're going to track that, I'm not really sure. Because I don't believe that you could track all of the people that are on this in this country right now. You couldn't. Some people don't even have documentation to share with you mm-hmm. where they're from. So
what about like ancestry.com? Like
that only goes so far.
Okay. Where would it say for y'all? It would show Africa?
I have no idea. Everyone is different. Mm-hmm. I mean, hopefully, I believe so. Mm-hmm. You really just that's something that is so. And I honestly want to cap that. Actually, I just want to cap that and say we're not going to receive reparations. It's a matter of how are you going to provide success for your generation.
Be your own reparations.
Exactly. And yeah. that's by the average, well, $1 million will catapult a family. There goes that catapult word. Mm-hmm. 10 decades ahead of the game. So they will be a black family that has $1 million to their name will be ahead 10 years another average black family. So when you think of that, if you are somebody who wants to retire your mom or somebody who wants to stop clocking in, if you're someone who wants to have your children's tuition paid for before they're even born, people like me, then you would understand what $1 million will do for your family, and you won't ask for reparations. You will seek it within yourself mm-hmm. and you will make sure that your generations to come are
set.
Not only set, but they are provided the option to be whoever they want to be
yeah.
with the money that will get them there, mm-hmm. right? So that's just me saying reparations are probably not going to happen. We don't even have free education. So why would we expect black people to have anything given to them to get them to the next level?
Yeah, so that's not going to happen anytime soon.
It's a great, great dream, though.
Yeah. Personally, for me, I don't think Africans should get reparations because collectively, we succeed off of the backs of the successes and the hard work of black Americans. Like, without them doing civil rights, without them struggling through slavery and the repercussions of that and the growth.
So you don't feel like your culture didn't experience anything?
Oh, I'm sure they experienced some kind of like trauma. Everybody experiences trauma, but
so there wasn't corruption.
But corruption and slavery are two different things.
I understand that, but I'm just saying, I just believe everybody eats. I feel like if there's money, literally FAFSA, it's not about, it is about a lot of different things. But I'm saying, like, that is like anything else. If you're giving out money, there's levels to it, but we should all get some. That's just me. That's just my, that's just my thoughts on it. But,
okay.
Of course, everybody has different perspective. Polar
For
opposites.
Sure. Polar opposites. That's a great way to cap that off. But, all right. So that's a good way to end things, I think. I hope you guys liked this episode. So we just wanted to celebrate the start of Black History Month with an episode just talking about the differences between like Africans and Black Americans, how we compare, how we contrast, and basically just learning about each other. And especially since it's Black History Month, I thought that would be a perfect way to like blend both of those together. But hope you guys liked the episode. Kendall.
And I definitely, I just want to thank everybody who, the people who asked for me back, first of all. And also thank you, Justin, for having me on.
Of course.
Think that we learn more and more about each other and how our environments and our upbringings have affected how we think and then how we've decided to educate ourselves and relearn mm-hmm. the things that make us who we are.
Right.
And being able to be open about our experiences and our thought processes. So I think general and intellectual discourse really can change your situation. It can change your mindset and it can help you move forward in life. So having these conversations, which is basically what a podcast is. Mm-hmm. It's therapeutic, especially between two people who are, you know, not living completely different lives, mm-hmm. and then also wanting to see each other succeed. So thank you. And then I also want to thank you guys for listening to us. You know, obviously, you didn't have to click on his podcast, but you wanted to because you wanted to add value to your day. And so I hope that we did. I always like to leave people with some sort of, like I said, nugget of wisdom, mm-hmm. or a gem, or a seed of value that could elevate them to the next level. That's all that I want to see is, yes. you know, not only Black people, shout out to Black History Month, to, you know, everybody. And I hope that everyone excels to their full potential.
Same.
Thank you guys. Thank you so much. I hope that we have a great Super Bowl because it's been so hyped up, and there will be the first cannabis commercial. Shout out to the cannabis consumers. That's going to be awesome. I'm loving it. I don't even know who's playing, but I know that commercial will be going live. So. Right. Awesome. And we actually saw Jay-Z and Blue.
Yeah, so
looking fire flames.
So what does that mean? Probably
we don't know. Justin's excited, right? Yeah. we'll see. We'll obviously be hearing it on your next podcast.
On the next episode.
Thank you for having me.
Yes.
I love you all, those known and unknown, and support
your Black business. But yes. Yeah, thank you for joining me, Kendall, and thank you guys for listening. It means so much for you guys, or it means so much to me that you guys listen, that y'all care about what I say. Yeah, it means a lot. So I hope you guys liked it. If you guys want to email me, an email is great too. Email me at polaropposites.pod@gmail.com.
And also, if you want to follow me on Instagram, it is at KendallTheWinner, Kendall the Winner, 1L. And if you want to know more information about the foreign exchange market and trading, investing, and things of that nature, please reach out to me. I am down to teach you and put you on game and all of that good stuff. So please contact me at Kendall the Winner. Serious inquiries only. Love y'all.
Ooh, that was good. That was good. So y'all have a good week. Enjoy the rest of your week. Be safe, have fun, and of course, I'll catch you guys on the next one. Bye, guys.